Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor. Charles Davis from the NFL Network joins us at this time. And, of course, Charles, we got a lot of things to talk about because the draft is kind of changing every year. And, of course, I guess the change is what's coming out of colleges, particularly on defense, because now you're getting a lot of good defensive players coming out.
You're exactly right about that, John. And you've watched this game evolve for a long time now. What we're getting is a lot of what I think we saw in the Super Bowl, those hybrid-type players that whatever an offense presents – they just morph into whatever defensive scheme they need without having to do a ton of substitutions. That's what colleges have had to do because of the tempo of the games. Offense is wanting to play fast, not allowing you a chance to substitute. So that, hey, give me my heavy set. Hey, give me my nickel. Hey, give me my – you don't have time for it. So you've got to have answers for everything they present while it's on the field. So that's why you're getting the type of player you're getting on defense nowadays. You're getting those hybrids, those outside linebacker defensive end types, those strong safety outside linebacker types, you know, right on down the line. Not too many of those big monster guys who can only do one thing. They don't get to stay on the field very long in college. So now the NFL's having to make that adjustment as well.
It seems like they're taking some of the better athletes, the bigger athletes, and instead of making them offensive linemen, making them interior defensive linemen because you don't have enough time to get to the quarterback.
That is so true, and it's such a funny battle because in college football what I've learned is the head coaches are often taking the best athletes. Remember, John, in our day they take the best athlete, put them on defense? Mm-hmm. Now they put them on offense, letting him score points. Except as you talk about those linemen, because if you take some of those interior guys and get that gut pressure in the face of the quarterback, that's where the game's being won now. So all those years we spent extolling edge rushers, we still do. But that inside pass rusher now, oh, that person's a commodity.
Well, you even look at this year's draft. I mean, what there could be as many as six defensive tackles that could be taken. Now, again, they could be considered defensive ends, but again, there are defensive tackles probably in this league, and that's an incredible number when you think about it.
And especially with us playing nickel and dime defense most of the time now, those guys do move inside, right? The Michael Bennett's with the Eagles who move inside. You remember how Cliff Averill used to do the same thing with Seattle before he got hurt? That's what you're looking for, those guys who can play on the edge, come back inside in the nickel pass rushing situations, as well as continue to play out on the edge as well. So we're seeing a little bit of everything.
From what you saw in the Super Bowl, talking about the hybrid positions, I mean, pretty much Bill Belichick almost took a version of the Buddy Ryan 46 defense because he had six guys on the defensive line, including a safety, you know, Patrick Chung, and then, of course, you know, took a linebacker in Kyle Van Noy. How much is that going to be copied, and how much does this draft help augment what's going to be these changes?
Yeah, everything's going to be copied when you win a Super Bowl. You know that. That happens all the time. We will see a lot of it because there's a kid named Chase Hansen, University of Utah, right? Mm-hmm. In his college career, he's been a strong safety. He's been an outside linebacker. Where are you going to play him? Well, guess what? In today's NFL, you might play him at both. So that's the beauty. You get to two for one. He's one example, and there's a number of guys like that. Is he a defensive end? Is he an outside linebacker? Maybe he's probably both. Depends on whatever scheme we want to play. We're seeing that so often, and that's what I think is the beauty of all these kids coming out now. We're not just saying he's this. He could be this. He could be this. He could be this. But that also tells you that kid has to be an intelligent player as well. Because you know New England, right? Every week's a different defensive scheme. Throw out what we did the week before. A lot of teams are trying to get that done, but you can't do it without players of intelligence.
No doubt. And, of course, I mean, that's the one thing that's going to be interesting because, again, now with these intelligent players, I mean, you can go deeper in the draft and get guys. So it's not like if you don't get them in the first round, you don't get guys. But, you know, you can get good players. Seattle's done it for years. Guys in the fifth round that become stars.
Yeah, you nailed it, John, and you've seen it throughout time. Yes, you better not miss on your first round pick because that's a great commodity to have. But your football team is one on rounds 4, 5, 6, 7, plus filling in with free agents. I mean, I look at the Pro Bowl every year and go, undrafted free agent, undrafted free agent, undrafted 7th round guy, 6th round guy, 5th round guy. It's exactly right. That's where you really make your money as a scouting group. That's where your team gets fortified. Because you're expected to hit rounds 1 through 3. I mean, you should also almost be able to throw a dart at the board and be able to hit that. 4, 5, 6, 7, that's where your evaluation fits in. How do they fit our schemes? How can we turn them loose?
Yeah. One position has been kind of a little down the last couple of years has been wide receiver. I mean, 2014, you've got 9 potential number one receivers, many of them already being paid between $14 and $18 million a year. I mean, a great group. But since then, there hasn't been that kind of depth or even that kind of success at wide receiver.
Yeah, and it's been interesting because they're throwing around more in college football than they ever have before. But part of it too, John, is the NFL still is in a lot of ways based on running precise routes, being in the proper spot, doing the proper depth, all that. In college football, it's not schoolyard, don't get me wrong. But a lot of it is find that open area of grass and let the guy get the ball to you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these kids still have to develop when they get to the NFL. So it's not quite the same as it used to be. But I still think there's plenty of talent that comes out. It just might not be as much at the top where we're going, hey, here comes the next Julio Jones. It might be a guy like a Cortland Sutton, you know, came in last year.
He did well,
second-round guy. People had questions about this, this, and this. Guess what? He can play.
Yeah, that's a strange point. I mean, very well this year, there can be only maybe possibly two first-round wide receivers.
But that doesn't mean that we're still not going to get a ton of wide receivers who can flat-out play. And how many years have we looked up and said, oh, my God. Remember Eddie Royal?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a first-round guy. But remember his first year? Caught 90 passes. So we'll just have to see how it goes. Cooper Kupp. People doubted whether Cooper Kupp could play or not. I always loved Cooper Kupp. I jumped up and down the table for this guy, and he showed that he's a big-time player, even though he wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah, it's funny because I know by about the fifth game of the season in his rookie year, he looked to be the best wide receiver they had.
He's the guy. Everybody figured it out. There's just something about him. You get those special guys, but the ones who have that work ethic like he has as well, yeah, they're the ones who keep developing. Look at Robert Woods. You know, another guy who was an All-American at USC. Fell out of favor a little bit because here came, was it Marquise Lee, who came in and was so electric and slippery. And then guess what? Found out Robert Woods could still play and had two positions for the Rams last year as they went to the Super Bowl.
What about the quarterback position? What do you see there? Because, I mean, is this – I mean, clearly I don't think it's as good of a class as last year. But could this be like a 2011-2014 class, or is it better than that?
I think it has the potential to be a little bit better than that. I think that, as usual, we're going to push some guys up that maybe would be better off not. But at the same time, I think there's some talent in there. I like Drew Lock out of Missouri. Dwayne Haskins is my favorite out of Ohio State. Kyler Murray is the wild card. And let's face it, John – when they measure him, it's probably going to be the biggest thing in this combine. You know, we're going to go through all these guys running and jumping and lifting. What's the tape measure saying Kyler Murray? That's what we're going to want to know. Because if it says 5'10", wow, that's going to be big. Because a lot of people think he's between 5'8 and 5'10". This is going to be interesting to see. You know, a Daniel Jones, where does he fit out of Duke? Great athletic talent, great pedigree coming from David Cutcliffe's system. Is he a first rounder? Is he a second rounder? But can he develop into that guy? I think there's some intriguing stories, but no, it's not last year's class.
I like Haskins a lot. Yeah, I like Haskins a lot because he's big, he's powerful, he has a strong arm, he has all the intangibles.
He looks like what we're used to seeing a quarterback look like coming out and going into the NFL. He's much more of a pocket guy. Does he have athleticism? Yes. But is that overwhelming? No. So you're not running zone reads. You're not running a lot of option with him. Can he run when necessary? Yes. Can he make the slide steps? Yes. But the biggest thing, he's going to beat you with his arm and his brain. And that's what we're used to seeing coming into the NFL.
How much is the league changing now in accepting shorter quarterbacks? Because, obviously Russell Wilson made the turning point at 5'10 and 5'8". You know, Baker Mayfield wasn't the tallest guy. This time last year, he was a low first-round pick, ended up being the first pick. And then now you have a 5'8", 5'9 quarterback in Kyler Murray, who could be good. We'll see.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Think of it this way. Eddie LeBaron was a major outlier way back in the day. What was he, 5'7", 5'8"? Fran Tarkenton was a big outlier. He was playing for Norm Van Brock. Remember what the Dutchman used to tell him? The only time you're supposed to leave the pocket is out of sheer fright, kid. And, you know, he was scrambling around and making plays. By the time he ended up his career, he was the all-time leading passer in the NFL and went to the Super Bowl 4 times. So now we're accepting of it. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. A GM can select Kyler Murray now, and if he doesn't make it, you don't automatically lose your job. If you did that previously, you selected a small quarterback, you didn't make it, you lost your job because you selected a small quarterback. That's what these guys in the front of these guys have done. They blazed the trail, and the game has changed enough in the league where they will do things to accommodate these kids. John, you remember kids would come in and the coach would go, we ain't doing that Joe College stuff here, kid. We're doing NFL stuff. Now we're mixing it and melding it.
Well, you look at the championship round. I mean, all four teams pretty much were running a lot of the college stuff. All offensive head coaches, great play callers, and they incorporated the college stuff probably better than many of the other teams.
There's no doubt about it. Jet sweeping like crazy.
which is kind of fun. What finally, when you look at the whole equation of this draft, good draft or bad draft?
I think it's a good draft, but it's going to be a good draft centering in on bigger people, and we often grade drafts based on quarterbacks.
Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Charles Davis, of course, is on the NFL Network as an analyst, and you can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. The NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine from March 1st to March 4th. You can't miss it. It's all good stuff, and that's going to be coming up on the NFL Network.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.